Welcome to Creative Mind Soul Sessions with Deborah Burnt Maldonado and Dr. Rob Maldonado, founders of Creative Mind. Explore personal growth with us through Jungian psychology, Eastern spirituality, and social neuroscience in a deep but practical way. Let's begin. Hello, welcome back to Soul Sessions. I am Deborah Burnt Maldonado. I'm here with Dr. Rob Maldonado, and we have a special episode today where we got some questions from our audience and wanted to answer them today about leadership. So we have three questions we're going to dive into. And I do want to make a plug too. We have a free ebook that just came out. It's called The Success Trap, Three Hidden Forces That Are Keeping You From Going to the Next Level in Your Business and Your Life. If you are an entrepreneur, high achieving entrepreneur, and feel like you have been trapped in your success, find out the psychological reasons why and how to break yourself free. The link to download the ebook is in the show notes. So the first question we have, we will keep the name anonymous, is someone who says she's in a new leadership position and it's a dream come true, but she finds herself thwarted by anxiety attacks, self-doubt, beliefs, shame and disassociation. She says she's had experience of trauma in early in life. And so how do we deal with that as a leader, those leaders who've had that kind of past?
Yeah. We want to, first of all, distinguish between small T trauma and big T trauma. And big T trauma, what we mean by that is simply trauma that really requires a therapeutic approach, maybe a year or two, maybe more of psychotherapy, where you're really able to deal with a trauma experience and really get the attention that you need.
Yeah, this isn't something a coach should ever, if it's that serious.
Yes.
The big T's.
But people that have small T trauma, meaning it was difficult, right? They had difficult situations in their childhood, in their adolescence, maybe a young adulthood. They haven't process it completely. It's still there. They can tell, especially when they're in positions of stress or responsibility, that those old kind of patterns kick up and they experience this self-doubt, perhaps anxiety, depression, those kind of circumstances.
Sometimes even panic attacks and, with the pressure of leadership.
Yeah. But you still want to stay in your position, of course, and take advantage of these opportunities. Then it's a good idea to really work at a deeper level. And in coaching, of course, the deepest level is depth psychology, a Jungian approach, especially with the Eastern philosophy. It will give you a sense of what's the potential in the trauma itself, in the difficulties, instead of thinking of the difficult circumstances of your life as hurting you or causing you only pain. You can look at those experiences and say, what can I learn from these? What was the lesson, and where can I see the strength coming from these experiences?
Would you also say, when people say they have even big T or little T, the trauma happened on the ego level. So when you're having these symptoms or experiences or stress, you're really dealing with your ego. And to understand that you're not your ego, like it's a pattern, that there's more to you than just this thing. And I think when people have tough lives or even big T traumas, they tend to over-identify as their trauma, like that's who I am, and I'm this person that had this experience, and we don't see our real true nature beyond that, and that really is hard. So the Eastern philosophy tells us that the true self can never be harmed, can never be hurt. So on a core level of you, there's never, ever been any kind of trauma. It's a beautiful potential that's in you. And to know that's there, I think, immediately can help you. But it takes study. It takes practice, not just like a one trick pony here where you could just say, oh, that's my ego and I'm out of there. It's about processing and really understanding what this ego is telling me something that's not true. And you start to open up to a deeper part of yourself.
Yeah. But essentially three steps, right? First of all, you accept the circumstances. We're not pushing them away. We're not sugarcoating them. We're seeing them for what they are. But again, we're seeing them from that higher perspective, that we are the observers of our life and our mind. We're not caught up in the drama of the emotions and the experiences that we've had. That allows us then to use that information that comes from those experiences in a creative and powerful way. Mm. So that's number one. You have to see it as an opportunity to transform this energy of experience into creativity.
It's almost like these things are coming up so you can deal with them. And I think a lot of what the approaches that I've experienced through the personal development is like squashing the symptoms, and we're not really overcoming it. It's just kind of like managing symptoms, where what we want to do is transcend it altogether. Not getting rid of it, but like putting it in its right place and seeing it as not as powerful as our ego thinks it is.
That's right. Number two, then you have to work with the emotions. Mm-hmm. So what are the emotions associated with those experiences? You mentioned shame. You mentioned probably anger.
Yeah. Self-doubt, anxiety.
Yes. All those emotions, you have to invite them in instead of trying to soothe them, trying to fix them, trying to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. This approach allows you to use that energy, because it's psychological, emotional energy that is yours. And if you push it away, you're blocking it and or pushing it into the shadow, into the unconscious. Allowing it to arise and to kind of experience it in a friendly, open, non-judgmental way allows that energy to be transformed into that creative power.
Well, I do want to add a caveat here that we don't want to jump it, like marinate in it. If you think about a river and the water rushing with the rocks, that's that emotion going by. You're not in the river swimming with the emotion. You're on the bank of the river being the witness, watching it unfold. And just that step, taking a step back, not disassociating, that's very different. That's a defensive mechanism. When you're taking a step back, you're still feeling the feels. Disassociation, you cut yourself off from the feeling. You move out of your body because it's too intense. And so this is really, you're in it and you're with it. And you know, a lot of people, I would love for you to speak to this, Rob, people feel like the emotion's going to hurt them in some way if they keep going toward it. It's like it's going to set them back or kind of damage them in some way. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I think that's a misunderstanding of the nature of emotions. All emotion is there for a purpose. We have anger, we have shame, all these things to give us a sense of the meaning of life's circumstances. Mm-hmm. Whatever we're experiencing, those emotions tell us what this means. And so we need those very subtle emotions like shame and
fear, anxiety,
all these things are very useful to us. When we push them away, right, when we suppress them, then we don't have access to them anymore, and then they're working unconsciously and sabotaging our work, like in your circumstances.
And so like almost like the opposite. You think if I go toward the emotion, it's going to hurt me, but actually disassociating or pushing it away or trying to overcome it is actually hurting you more, because as you push it into the unconscious, it's doing more I don't want to say damage, but more causing more problems for you than actually solving them.
That's right. And so thirdly, then first, you see it as an opportunity and you approach it from this higher perspective. You work with the emotions. Then you get to integration. Integration simply means that you own it. Mm-hmm. These are no longer elements that you're working with or pushing away or see as alien to your life and your goals in life. They are a part of it. They're integrated. You're conscious of them. And when you're conscious of them, they cannot hurt you, because you decide what to do with them.
And also, too, the feeling of anxiety is more that pushing it away causes more discomfort than if you actually just let it be there. At first, it might feel overwhelming, but then after a while, you're like, oh, it kind of gets lighter. So that kind of, when we're feeling anxious, we are resisting something. and we get afraid of how we feel, and we never want to do that. We never want to not be afraid to not feel, because feeling through life is just what makes it beautiful. To feel joy and pain, all those emotions, you know, it's to honor them and know that they can't override you and take you over, and they also can actually be a part of a very rich, deep, meaningful life.
And so you're in a great position. You just need to do the work, of course, mm-hmm. Work with a coach, a creative mind coach, because they will help you reach this level of integration. Then you can be the great leader that you know you can be.
Yeah. And if you, like, you know, the small T trauma, if you treat the small T trauma, what you're actually doing in most cases is you're suppressing it, or you're getting rid of the symptoms of this experience versus really getting to the root. And the question is, why did I feel this way in the first place? It's because I thought I was an ego. I thought I was, at the time of this event happened or events happened, I thought I was powerless. I'm not powerless. And it really is a return to power than actually succumbing to an emotion. You're actually being more powerful than the emotion. Are you a high-achieving entrepreneur who sacrificed other parts of your life to create success, but feel as though you don't want to stop, but you want to figure out how you can have a full, complete life? You want success without sacrifice. We have a new ebook just for you. It's called The Success Trap: 3 Hidden Forces That Keep You From Going to the Next Level in Your Business and Your Life. Get your free copy today. Go to thesuccesstrapbook.com and begin an inner journey based on depth coaching of Jungian psychology and Eastern philosophy. You know you don't need just another business strategy. You want to really get to know deep inside who you really are, what your soul wants for your business and your life. And this book will give you so many insights that you will be surprised at how it changes your life. So visit thesuccesstrapbook.com and download your copy today and become a Satya leader, someone who lives, speaks, and acts in truth and really feels aligned with all areas of your life. thesuccesstrapbook.com. Okay, next question is, I've been visualizing, wanting something to happen. We've all done this, right? We have goals and we've been visualizing and very vigilant with it. And the thing I want isn't showing up. Is it just a fantasy, or am I really visualizing? How do I know? Am I just, you know, fantasizing one day I'm going to be successful? And how do I know the difference?
Well, you're the expert on visualization. Yeah. Why don't you start us off?
Well, fantasy is when you visualize something in the future, but on a deep level, you really don't believe it's true. It's going to come true. It's almost like you're doing it to suppress a current suffering that you have, that my life isn't great now, so I'm just going to escape and visualize that one day everything's going to work out for me. That's a fantasy. And then on a deep level, you really don't believe that it's actually true. And so how do we get away from fantastical thinking into vision? And that is higher knowledge, like we talk about in our podcast all the time, is to understand the nature of who we are and how we create. If you do not understand that, if you think that I am here, I have to visualize, and then something out there is going to come in, and it's separate from me, and it's chance, or it's just luck that I'm going to have this, you aren't going to, you know, it's going to be a fantasy. But if you understand that I am consciousness, that everything I think, feel, and imagine is I'm creating, I'm weaving this world. I think for me is understanding 100% responsibility for what you're creating right now, not in blame, but responsibility that on some level, I'm conditioned to have this experience. And I want to investigate how I'm conditioned to have this experience so that I can create the experience I consciously want. And just visualizing and hoping this current situation just goes away is not going to solve the problem. And I see so many people, you know, it's like the easy way, right? I'm just going to visualize. I mean, when The Secret came out 20 years ago, everyone was like, yeah, this is so easy. I don't have to work hard. I'm just going to visualize it and it's going to happen. And, if you do it from ego, you do it from fear, you do it from I'll be better when, and not understanding that you're part of the equation, that it will be a fantasy. Now, to truly envision is understanding that your consciousness, understanding how reality works, that it's a reflective reality, not a directive reality. Out there is not telling you what's possible. You're deciding. And that if it's not showing up on some level, you're deciding either you don't want it or you don't believe you can have it. And that's where you can examine it more. But it's, I think, you know, you say I'm the queen of visualizations, and we constantly hear, do you have a visualization for that? Do you have a visualization for this? And you can't just visualize yourself into change. You have to do the shadow work. You have to understand the depth, the in-depth psychology. In our coaching model, we go deeper to, well, what is really happening and why we're not doing it? Do you have anything to add to that?
No, that's a pretty good explanation of it. Magical thinking is fantasy, essentially. What we're doing is in this kind of work is we're being very practical and very real about where we're at. We're not pushing away anything. We're accepting the situation, but we're also understanding that this situation, we created it from our thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The current situation, we are the creators of this situation, which means if we accept responsibility, we can also change it.
So here's a really good part of this question. Do we hold the vision even if it seems we're getting nowhere? Or do we just accept that maybe we're not cut out for big dreams like the life we want? Now, that is exactly why the vision isn't working, because you even wrote it out. And so here's something that I think everyone can do. If you're a visualizer, I love visualization. There's nothing wrong with it, but you have to do the inner work too. You can't just visualize just using that technique alone. Techniques will not get you anywhere. You have to have that underlying philosophy. So write down, like, your current situation that you're frustrated with. Write down why you think this is happening to you. And then you'll be really surprised. You can read it back and you'll see exactly the thought process and the assumptions you're making. I mean, this is not deep step psychology. This is just kind of preconscious stuff, that belief systems and stuff. But it's a good first step to even just listen to your narrative. The next step is that, why do I think that way? First is, what am I thinking? But the next step, which most people don't do, they just try to change their thinking. But you have to ask yourself, why do I think that way? Why do I assume I'm not meant for big dreams? Why am I doubting in myself? Those are the bigger questions. That's what you need to answer.
Yeah.
All right. And the last question is another visualization question, but I'll let you answer this one, Rob. We can both answer this one. We could share it. What do you think? How do you use active imagination, which is a deeper, more advanced form of visualization, and we'll explain what that is, to create our vision? So do you want to explain what active imagination is? And then I'll give a little tip on how to use it.
Yeah. And she mentions dream work.
Yeah. You can use it for dream work.
Yeah. So active imagination is a powerful tool that Jung developed himself in order to work with the symbols that arise from the unconscious mind. And he noticed that a lot of these symbols he wasn't familiar with and didn't have enough content to interpret them, to understand them. And so he developed this technique of active imagination, where he would close his eyes, relaxed, and visualize that symbol. Let's say he dreamt or saw an eagle in his vision, in his imagination. He would visualize the eagle and then hold it steady as much as possible and really concentrate on it until it started to move, and then just follow it without trying to direct it, change it, interpret it at that time, but simply observe what other elements could he find to fill in that understanding of the symbol from his active imagination work?
Well, it would be the opposite of guided meditation. It's unguided, like an unguided meditation. It's not, you're not guiding it at all. You're just allowing it to show up. When we want to create a vision, of course, our conscious mind wants to create a vision. So what we want to do is say you have a vision of, you know, something you know you want. So imagine that scene playing out of the future, and you just focus on that scene as if it's almost like a stuck in time, like you're looking at a slide of a film, and you just let it be there for a minute, and then you drop your agenda and just watch what unfolds. And then you just allow yourself to see maybe things that you wouldn't consciously, you know, visualize for your future, and other things will start to emerge, and randomly just let them unfold. I did this 20 years ago, actually. I did, before I became a hypnotherapist and coach, before I met you, Rob, I did a active imagination where we were just allowed to just visualize ourselves 10 years into the future. And all these things started to emerge. And what is really interesting is that I saw you there, but I didn't know it was you at the time. I saw the business that we're creating, and I was in the corporate world. Yeah. And so all these things that I didn't think of for my vision started showing up. And I knew I loved personal growth, so I just let it, you know, I want to do something around that realm. And then this whole vision showed up, and it was so beautiful. And then I got to live it. So I am living it. So that's a great way to do it. And you want to be open, because our ego has an agenda. Like it has this is what I really want, but the soul has another agenda. And you want to, the active imagination will let your soul speak to you and show you, like, maybe things that your ego doesn't want, maybe afraid of, that pushes you forward. And sometimes it shows up, like you said, in dreams. You have a dream of like being on stage, and maybe you never thought of yourself that way, but it just shows up, and it's like, your soul's like, hey, maybe you might consider this in your future.
Yeah, so it's a very powerful tool that you can use both for dreams and for creating a vision of who you want to be, what the things you want to create in your life. Because if you think of this world, everything you see around you, someone had to imagine it. Someone had to conceive of it. It came from the mind. So everything we see, everything we have comes from the imagination. It's simply that we forget that principle. And it's very powerful. If you can imagine something and believe that you can create it, that becomes your reality. And it's you know, to the extent that you're able to hold that vision of yourself in this creative way, it will become your life.
I have one more question. It's actually a second question about visualization, and I thought I'd ask this too, is that how can we accept and live in the present while stepping into the experience of our vision at the same time without our mind focused on the future, so we aren't just chasing what we want? And a very simple idea is that what we really want aren't things out there. What we really want aren't conditions in the world, like on a deep level. What we really are looking for is the feeling and the personal experience of having those things or having created those things. So I would start by the internal experience. You have to have it first before the external shows up. So if you have this vision of you being this great leader one day, but your internal experience is, I'm not a leader, I don't know if I can have it, and I it's going to be a lot of work. That's what you're going to create versus this vision that's more like, almost like we said, a fantasy. But if you embody that this is who I already am, how would that me be right now today? Mm. How would I act as a leader? I might not have about all the things out there yet, but who am I being? And it's like embodying, again, it's not just building up an ego, but it's like transcending the ego and doing the inner work to align with your soul, who's already that person, who's already able to express those really beautiful, powerful leadership skills and energies and expressions, is to embody it now. Even if you have zero clients, if you have zero customers, zero revenue, you're being that now. And it's like it will step into it. But the beingness comes first. Do you like that answer? Do you have anything else to add?
Oh, that's wonderful. I mean, that's what it's about.
Yeah. It's like we get caught up in the objects and the circumstances, and we think those things are going to make us happy when I have these things lined up for myself, whether it's a partner, whether it's a nice house, whether it's a steady income, a money in the bank, a 1,000 raving fans, as they always say, is the target. But who's the person who has that? It's that's who you have to become today. And that's the inner work. That's when we talk about satya leadership, being living in truth, because the truth of you are, you're not the ego. You're not your past. You're not the culmination of everything that happened to you. You are pure potential. And how can we step into that? That's what satya leadership is all about. All right. Well, this was a juicy conversation, Rob. I enjoyed it. Thank you for getting these questions. And we're always open. So if you have more questions, don't forget to post them in the comments below, not the show notes. But in the show notes, we do have a wonderful gift for all of you who are aspiring leaders or already leaders and successful and feeling that overwhelm. We have a free ebook that we wrote together. That's and it's right. called The Success Trap, 3 Hidden Forces that are keeping you from going to the next level in your business and your life. And it's all the inner work that a leader needs to be truly, truly successful, not just outer success, but that feeling of they're really connected to their soul and doing their life's purpose in a deep, meaningful way. And they don't have to sacrifice anything to have that. So we will see you next week. Take care, everyone.
Thanks for the great questions. And see you next time.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us. And don't forget to subscribe to Creative Minds Soul Sessions and join us next week as we explore another deep topic where you can consciously create your life with Creative Mind Soul Sessions. See you next time.